You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Anything goes is not the slogan of freedom. People who follow that slogan will soon find that everything has gone.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty God, Lord of the nations and Redeemer of the world, show your grace and favor to the United States of America. Forgive us our many mistakes for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. And give us a right mind to serve you with respect for your law and with love toward one another, making a real contribution to this country of ours, one nation under you, O God. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. No citizen of the United States can be unaware of the fact that today we celebrate the 200th anniversary of our country as an independent nation. National ceremonies mark the event today, as do local community projects, parades, and pageants, with concerts and fireworks displays, in religious and patriotic celebration. The greatest thing we have to celebrate is that we are one nation under God. Those two little words, under God, were added to the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag only a comparatively short time ago. It took a long time for them to get there, but they are probably the two most important words of allegiance that we have. One nation, under God. They state exactly what St. Paul said is true of every good government. Every Christian ought to obey the civil authorities, for all legitimate authority is derived from God's authority, and the existing authority is appointed under God. That statement holds government to its responsibility, as it holds citizens to their responsibility. Any government that does not recognize its responsibility under God has lost one legitimate claim, probably the most important one of all, to legitimate authority. Any citizen who promotes anarchy under whatever guise has lost one claim, probably the most important one of all, to the whole basis of freedom. We in America declare that we are not anti-God, although we give people great freedom to express themselves, even though they do not believe in God, and promote ideas that are actually offensive to some of us who do believe in God. Our people as a nation, however, have made it quite clear that we recognize our responsibilities as one nation under God. The signers of the Declaration of Independence, after a great deal of soul-searching and long hours of debate, made their firm conviction that man is endowed by his Creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Under God, is not so much a declaration of faith as a statement of fact. In this free land, we are not hesitant to declare our faith. We have that freedom without any official establishment of religion, but with a full guarantee of the free exercise of religion. That freedom is a part of the Constitution of the United States. When all is said and done, it is probably the most important freedom we have. It is part of the atmosphere that this nation is under not some form of religion or some form of tyranny, but under God. In the Great Seal of the United States, there is the sign of a pyramid, the top of which is incomplete. The building of a great nation is never finished. Atop that unfinished pyramid is an eye. Our nation exists under that eye. We recognize the supremacy of Almighty God. When the pilgrims landed on these shores on November 21st, 1620, it is reported, they fell upon their knees and blessed the God of heaven who had brought them over the vast and furious ocean and delivered them from all the perils and miseries thereof. They gave thanks, not to their lucky stars, but to God who controls the destinies of men. The motto of the state of Connecticut, for example, states in Latin, qui transtulit sustinet. One translation would be, he who has transported will sustain. Or to put it in more modern language, he who has started will finish. The one who starts and finishes is God. Whether churches are on the green in a New England village, standing alone in the countryside of Nebraska, or sandwiched in between skyscrapers in the big city, they are themselves symbols of something great in the life of a great nation. And that is a free church in a free nation. There's no establishment here which can claim supremacy over any other establishment. There's no church here which can claim supremacy over any other church. Here, the church, at its best, will not try to dominate the state. The state, at its best, will not try to dominate the church. Both are free to operate in their own realms, the state in the realm of law and the church in the realm of the gospel. Each is free to have its say, but not to dictate the one to the other. The policy of separation of church and state is a truly American idea, designed to protect the truly American principle of freedom of religion, which brought many people to this country and has helped to make the United States of America a truly unique nation. The price of freedom is vigilance. In a world of violence and terrorism, freedom is a fragile commodity. Only people with a true sense of freedom, rejecting the license and licentiousness which destroy freedom, can continue to be truly free. Anything goes is not the slogan of freedom. People who follow that slogan will soon find that everything has gone. Government has its limitations, as law has its limitations. Some things law cannot do. It cannot change people. It cannot make them want to do what is right, even though it can prevent them in a general way from doing things that are so wrong as to disrupt the whole life of a nation. The multiplication of laws in our complex world is itself a statement of the limitations of law. What our country needs above all else is people who recognize their personal responsibilities to God. Not only the nation is under God, its people are too. If they are not, the seeds of disunity and disruption have already been sown. Historian Sidney Ahlstrom has called our period in history a time of calamities. As the American people move toward the bicentennial of the nation's independence, he writes, we can see few living signs of the self-confidence and optimism that marked the centennial observance of 1876, and even less of the revolutionary generation's assurance. The nation's organic connections with the source of its idealism and hope have withered. Distinguished British journalist Malcolm Muggeridge, in his later years an outspoken apologist for the Christian faith, remarked at the International Congress on World Evangelism at Lausanne in 1974, "Let me boldly and plainly say that it has long seemed to me beyond any shadow of doubt that what is still called Western civilization is in an advanced state of decomposition. Elsewhere, someone has written, "Our nation staggers to its 200th birthday party in a state of moral collapse and spiritual bankruptcy." People who say things like that may be called prophets of doom. But there is no question that in this land of the free, countless city dwellers are virtual prisoners in their apartments and homes. In the home of the brave, many people are afraid to walk the streets of their neighborhoods after dark, and in some cases in broad daylight. Others don't feel secure even inside their own homes. The United States experiences 5 times more violent crimes per capita than practically any other nation in the world. Misuse of alcohol and drugs, particularly among young people, has reached epidemic proportions. Secular hedonism has become a popular and profitable profession. Pornography is both profitable and pervasive in our country. In the first half of the 70s, indictments against government officials for corruption became a common thing, and the highest office of the land was vacated for the first time by resignation because of outright corruption, which even then was defended by people who regarded themselves as respectable and upright. There are multitudes of problems and of agonies triggered by the realities behind words like these: inflation, unemployment, racism, poverty, slums, divorce, and delinquency. Untold miseries have been caused by misbegotten foreign adventures into which the nation somehow blundered. All of this has somehow dampened the nation's enthusiasm for celebrating its bicentennial. Things are not what they seem, or they have not turned out to fulfill what they promised. People are disappointed with others, and also with themselves. It is high time that the nation turn again to those noble and high statements of purpose which gave it birth in the first place. The ideals of our country have their source in God Himself. Our founding fathers said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Those ideas have their roots in God. He gives people life. He frees them from the tyrannies that would enslave them. He makes them truly happy and blessed, whether we always recognize it or not. This land is a nation under God. It recognizes the laws of nature and nature's God. One nation under God has to be just that. Under God, as St. Paul said, authority is appointed under God. Why then the disparity between what we proclaim and what we practice? Why all these crises? Why all the withering of hope and the fading of idealism? Why the multitude of ills that curb enthusiasm for our celebration of the bicentennial? Already in 1972, in an article appearing in the Chicago Daily News, a former ambassador to the United Nations, Daniel P. Moynihan, said, "The crisis of our age is not political. It is a moral crisis. It is a crisis of a people who have given up their hope in God." Is it not an irony that the country conceived as a nation under God should have given up hope in God? A nation is not a thing. It is a collection of people. It is no better nor worse than its people. Its leaders are no better and no worse than the rest of the people. It is high time that we take a look at ourselves instead of just pointing a finger at somebody else. Have we given up hope in God? Have we come to equate the American dream of liberty and justice for all with our own personal and private acquisition of wealth and the things that make men covetous and lustful rather than being thankful to Almighty God, without whose blessing none can prosper? Have we become cynical and selfish and disinterested in the promise of what America under God can be and can yet become? Have we abandoned a true patriotism that always seeks the highest good of all in favor of a mindless and uncritical chauvinism that enslaves men solely to its own selfish interests? in a world of sin, where selfishness and pride are the ultimate sins because they turn people away from God, the temptation is always to go the route described by the prophet. We have all gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. God does not abandon his people, even if they abandon him. It was for sinful people that Christ died. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. In Jesus Christ, the vision of Daniel came true. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, and all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Jesus Christ did not hesitate to call himself the Son of Man. He did not refuse to humble himself as the Son of Man, even to the point of dying, and that the death of a common criminal. For all of that, he was given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. He is Lord, and his dominion is everlasting. He will not pass away. He will not be destroyed. Nations will be destroyed, but the Lord who gave his life for the life of the world will not be destroyed, nor will that people be destroyed that puts its confidence in him. St. Paul said to people who had come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, "Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast and holding forth the word of life." It's a great thing to be able to hold forth on this free soil the word of life. That's American. It always was great, and it is great today. It is a great thing that from this free soil, the word of life goes forth to people all over the earth. It is not boasting, but simply a statement of fact, that this broadcast goes forth from America to people in 125 lands and in 46 languages, telling the good news of God as we have it in Jesus Christ. We are not so great, but he is. It isn't so much that we love him, but that he loved us and gave his only son to be a substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Absolutely the best thing about the United States of America is the freedom, not only to believe, but to tell people what you believe. As the old liturgies used to say, without let or hindrance. Absolutely the best thing about America's allegiance is its determination to be one nation under God, in Christ. The very God under whom we live and move and have our being was reconciling the whole world unto himself, not counting our sins against us. He came like a son of man, that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him at our best. We serve him here on this free soil and make a real contribution, probably the most important contribution of all, to help keep this one nation free under God. We recognize that God first served us in the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. We recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ. We follow him. We invite other people to follow him. Without grumbling or questioning, we accept his grace as responsible citizens, blameless, innocent, and maybe even a little naive, but children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Because that's the way to shine like lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. My American friends and neighbors, shine as lights in the world. Act as children of God. Have faith in him and show love to your neighbor. Help to make this nation one, as it can be only under God. Amen.